Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. Thank you for being here this day to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Several announcements. I'm not going to make all these in the bulletin because we have a couple of extra speakers today. The second one in your bulletin, it says, as we journey through this sacred Advent season towards Christmas and beyond, the choir respectfully requests that anthems be enjoyed quietly without applause. So we thank you for that. And we remind you, nursery next door, and that the library is available for a crying room for children that might be noisy. Speakers provided, or if someone has a coughing fit, they can go in there also. Offering envelopes are on the table in the back. And you can read about the weather hotline if we do get bad weather. You could see that on WPXI. The office will be closed this Thursday, December the 26th. And I, myself, just to let you know, will be prepping for a medical test and then going in for that test at Passovant on December the 27th. And remind you of the Christmas Eve service, candlelight service, at 7 p.m. And this was left out of the bulletin. The altar flowers were given by Arlie Caneas in celebration of Lori and Tim DeBorns. Did 25th wedding anniversary. It was omitted from the bulletin, so we thank Arlie for that. And that's to her sister and brother-in-law down in Florida. From the deacons, thank you to everyone who contributed to the Angel Tree Project. We were able to help 19 children in 7 different families. Thanks to the American Legion, we were able to give $25 gift cards from Shop and Save. Thanks to Jim Oliver and his vendors, we were also able to give each child a large stocking full of candy and each family a bag of groceries. Thank you, because without your generosity, we would not be as successful as we were. Thank you also to Verna, who came down to put the grocery bags together. So thank everyone for every kind thing that you do and for giving to the Christmas, helping with the Christmas gifts for the children, and just everything to make this a wonderful Christmas for all of us. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This morning we have a minute for mission all the way from Kansas City. Our very own beloved Thomas is here to speak for 3 or 5 minutes about his mission there. So we invite Thomas to come up.
So good to be here with you this morning. I bring greetings from my family. They were not able to be here because we are trying to be at 3 different churches this morning, and so we are kind of splitting ourselves up. But I also bring you greetings from Kansas City. We've discovered that it's a very, very nice place. Wanted to take a little bit time to share about what I've been doing in Kansas City, because you are part of this ministry. So we have, as some of you may know, I work with international students. What I do is connect with them, befriend them. It's a ministry of hospitality. We take things for them. These students are coming with just 2 bags from a different country. They have to start up life here from scratch, and so they don't have furniture, they don't have a whole bunch of things, and so we connect with them, we help take care of their needs, and through that we build relationships with them, and we also get the opportunity to share the gospel with them. This last Christmas, one of the churches, they had an amazing Christmas event. It's a large church. They had a 20-acre plot in front of it, and they had live skits that told the entire Bible story from Genesis up to Jesus' resurrection. five skits in the Old Testament, five skits in the New Testament. And I was able to take about eight international students through that. And one of the students, he at the end of the process actually accepted Christ as his personal savior. Now this student is a Hindu who he just came to this country 4 months ago, and he's coming from a home where in India where they don't even have electricity. You can imagine when he grew up as a young kid, he had to walk 45 minutes to get to the nearest school. And but he obviously was his parents are rice farmers. They have, and when you think of farmer, it's not like the American farmer. Their plot of land is so small that they can only grow enough rice for themselves. And the last 2 years there was no rain, and so they couldn't even grow rice for themselves. So I'm talking about a situation like this. And this young man, he worked hard, and he got into a PhD program, and he's here in the United States on a Fulbright scholarship to do research on the heart. So just a tremendous person who has made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and he's going to be here for a few more months, and then he's going to go back and complete his PhD program. But the idea of what we do in this ministry is to share Christ's love to them here, and so that when they make that commitment to Christ, then they can go back to their home countries and continue the work of sharing Christ's love to their friends and neighbors. So that's a little bit of what we do. One of the big joys that we've had is that, as you know, the university environment is not a very friendly environment to Christian ministries, and especially if you say that you're a Christian organization. But in Kansas City, Kansas University Medical Center, where my wife has got a position, the folks at the international office, they call it the Office of International Programs, they really welcomed us. They kind of invited us for a meeting, and they have been willing to now promote the international students ministry programs as part of their programs, where they would send out the emails as if it's coming from the international office. And so they send this email to all the students, and so we have an open door and access to all of these students. And this is a development that just happened when we reached there. But the folks, the team in Kansas City, have been praying for the doors at the Kansas University Medical Center to open for many, many, many years. And so God has opened the door now, and God has placed us there. And I just thank God for the way He has led us to this place. I want to thank you for standing with us in this endeavor. It's a new place, and we are still in the process of making friends and connecting with the people there. But I appreciate the friends that we have here, and this is being our first Christmas away from Pittsburgh. We couldn't think of a better way to celebrate Christmas than to come back to Pittsburgh and to be with you. So thank you again so much, and God bless you.
It's always a joy to see you, Thomas, but I really wanted to see your family. So we miss them, really miss them. Your kids are just adorable. When you see your envelopes, we talked about this a session a time or two back. It says local mission. Now, when you check local mission and give, you're giving to my salary, to keep the lights on, anything done with the building, the properties, all those types of bills. When you check general mission, that goes to monies that we might give, like to Thomas. We're supporting him on a monthly basis, mission work that we do. So that can be divided up. And if you want to give to your normal local mission, then you want to pad it a little bit with an extra for local mission so we can give to missions, please do so. So we are continuing to support Thomas as he had his ministry here. We consider him a missionary. You don't have to go to India or to Haiti to be a missionary. There are missionaries right here in the United States of America, and it's just a wonderful opportunity for him to reach these international students. So thank you for what you do for God. And I jumped ahead of myself and gave the call to worship. I'm just all psyched up this morning. So we'll just go right now to the hymn of praise, 119. O thou joyful, O thou wonderful. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for humanity. We thank you for faithful men and women in the Scriptures. We are grateful for the strength Joseph showed in a difficult situation. Forgive us when we fail tests of our character. Forgive us when we try to take the easy way out. Remind us that we are called to be Christ-like in all that we do. Help us understand that we can make a difference in the world by how we live. Show us how to be honest, responsible, and kind people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us once again on this Sunday unite in our faith through our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a minute and greet one another. This time we call Suzanne forward for the children's sermon. And any children, come forth. Come forth. Come hither. Come on down. The price is right. Oh, good group.
Oh, good group.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys a question. Look around the sanctuary and tell me what you see, especially behind us. And over there. Do you see your mirror? That's nice. There you go. That's nice. So did you see anything that looks kind of Christmassy?
Christmas tree.
Christmas trees.
Oh,
what do you see?
A Christmas tree behind you.
A Christmas tree behind me? Yay! And you know what? This is that time of year when we celebrate something special. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
What is it?
Uncle's birthday.
What is it?
Uncle's birthday.
God's birthday, that's right. We're so good about that, aren't we? That's nice that you know that. And that's what we're here for today. We're going to celebrate, in a couple days, we're going to celebrate something and we get presents. And there's things under the tree, and they're so amazing. And you've been good, and you've talked to Santa, right?
Yeah, Santa and God give you presents.
Santa and God give you presents. Well, you are on it today.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's our paper.
Hey, this is my cake.
Okay, it's beautiful. And now, and what I want to do is I want to ask you guys a question. This is important. When you think about Christmas, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about Christmas? Go ahead.
Jesus.
Jesus. See, I told you it's always a good answer. You know, if you answer Jesus or God, you're good up here. Okay. And what's something else that you think of?
Go ahead. Santa.
Okay. What's Santa do? What does he bring to you?
A present.
Okay. But what was Jesus to us?
Be good.
No, what was Jesus to us? When God gave us something, what did He give us?
A present.
A present. And who was our present? It was a person. Who was our present?
A God.
Jesus?
Jesus.
Excellent one. Okay. So when you get those presents from God, and we get them every day, we get it because we have good health, because we live in the United States, because we can have an education, because we have wonderful parents and a church that loves each and every one of you. We get those presents, okay? And all of this is because of one person. Who is that? That's it, that's the safe answer. Jesus. It's because of Jesus. We celebrate that once a year because this is His birth. This is the celebration. We always celebrate His birthday and we get presents with that, right? So, here's the idea. I'm just going to bring it to you in a nutshell. The celebration of Christmas is not about all the presents. It's not about all the glitter and the trees and all the things. Those are symbols of Christmas that we look at. But the real meaning of Christmas is the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's in our lives every single day, right? Okay? Who does anybody have anything to add to that? I'm sure you do. What? Pardon me? No, you don't get anything?
Those are kind of the ketchup bits.
Okay, well, those would be things too, honey. But what we're looking at right now is that we need to remember what the real meaning of the season is. What's the reason for the season? That's a pretty easy question. What's the reason for the season?
I'm a doggy.
A doggy and maybe Grace? Do you think the two of them might be the reason for the season?
No.
No. We're missing one here. Oh, that's absolutely right. And who was that baby? That was Grace.
A Midwest dog.
That's right. So only one woman can get on a donkey, in case you're interested. It's going to give us Christ. So he's absolutely right. So the reason for the season is Christ, right? So what I have for you guys here today is I have a couple different presents that I'm going to give you. You guys can take these, okay? I'm going to toss them behind you. Everybody can get a present. But this is called a pass-along present. It's a pass-along present. So what I want you to do with this present is I want you to take this present, and you can keep it for yourself for a while, but then I want you to give this present to someone else, okay? Now, when you do that, you have to pass along the story of Christ. You have to pass along why we're celebrating this and why you're giving them a present. Because it's a gift from you to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Okay? So can y'all do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Here they are right here. Here's these guys.
What, this gingerbread?
And here's these guys. Okay?
Oh,
Christ. For the Lord our God is with us both now and forevermore.
Advent beckons us to remember God's unconditional love, even when we stumble.
For the Lord our God is with us both now and forevermore.
Advent beckons us to remember God's invitation to the human heart to be still in the face of strife.
For the Lord our God is with us both now and forevermore.
Advent beckons us to remember we always have hope, even when it seems as if our world is caving in around us.
For the Lord our God is with us both now and forevermore.
This morning, we light four candles. The first candle reminds us of the hope that God's light never ceases to shine. The second candle reminds us that in a world of discord, we hear again the calming words of our Savior, "Peace, be still." The third candle reminds us of the matchless love God has for us. The fourth candle reminds us that our joy abides in God, who is gently whispers to each human heart. He whispers for each human heart, "Come follow me, for I have come might have the life measure."
See you.
Responsive reading 717, the Nicene Creed. I don't think we've ever read that before. So as you look at it, I'll read the first paragraph, and you'll read the second paragraph down to where it said things were made. Then I'll read that next section, and then you'll start down and read the last paragraph where it says, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. 717, the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible.
And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made.
Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end.
And I believe who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen. This time I'll call Elder on the door for our praise and prayer request to be presented.
Morning, everyone. First off, praise request that all of you come out today. It's great Christmas season here. We have a prayer request for from Shawnee that Bill Mueller's cataract surgery went well. Wish you well on that, Bill. Leonard, prayer request that his focus comes in. He had just had the surgery done in his eye and still having some problems with his focusing on it, but hopefully that heals up in time here soon. Patty Hall requests a prayer for herself. She has been battling hives for 6 months now. Specialist thinks it may be vasculitis, but they are still doing some testing, so prayers go off for her. Mary Slaver asked for a prayer for Kathy, a friend of hers. She's having surgery tomorrow for breast cancer. Kathy Sagi, her friend Lisa, she's 34 years old and dying with the fight of cancer. Does not have much time left. Kathy Sagi, for Sandy S., negative result on a mammogram. She has to go to more extensive testing. So put prayer for her. Everything goes well. We have a praise request from Mabe for Lloyd Hald for his wonderful gift of donating a beautiful plot for her son Doug. She also has a praise request going out to Frank Perman for his kindness and professional help during the loss of her son. Kathy Sagi has a prayer request for Tina Cagniot. She's going through physical and very emotional time. May have peace and comfort that God and her friends are with her. And she has a praise request for Patty Trismicki, her sister. Says my sister found a part-time job helping to build a proposal for a job that may lead to full-time position as operations manager. Thanks to the congregation for their prayers. Please continue to pray. The company accepts their proposal. And as always, we want to pray for Glenshaw Valley, our country, and Merry Christmas to all of you.
Thanks, Jim. Very nice. As we go to the Lord in prayer, remind you we say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for this day, just a few days before the day that we celebrate your coming into our lives in the form of Jesus Christ. Chose the Nicene Creed this morning to remind us that Jesus is of the same substance as the Father and the Holy Spirit, not just human, not just adopted, but of the very essence. He is God. And when he went to the cross, humanity and God going to the cross, giving his life that we might be saved from our sins. But to do that, you had to come into this world as a baby, born in Bethlehem, born of parents who raised you, were good to you, taught you many lessons. We thank your parents for that, Joseph and Mary. And we thank all the parents that are good to their children and the children that are placed in their responsibility, that do the very best that they can to give them good values and a good upbringing. Bless them, Lord, and help them in a difficult task, in a difficult world, with things assaulting them, with social media and music, news, things going on at school, so many things coming against them. We lift all the young people up. All the prayers that are mentioned today, all those that are unspoken, all listed in the valley, all listed in the bulletin, everyone who may be thinking of somebody or a prayer for their very own selves, we lift up to you because you are a living God, not a God who created and left this universe, not a God who created and then had to die and go away, but your son Jesus died, but he rose from the dead, showed himself, then ascended into heaven. And we are so thankful for that, for your power, for your love, for your care for humanity. Help us care for one another. Help us have compassion and empathy and love, understanding. Help us be the best Christians that we can be. Help us to be the best parents and grandparents and cousins and aunts and uncles that we can be. Help us to be the best friends that we can be to one another. Help us to be the best church that Glenshaw Valley can possibly be, giving us direction and life and bringing new people into our fellowship. And bless this service and bless the Christmas Eve service. Draw new people to us that we may minister to them in the name of Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. And Lord, we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is an old standard, but it is on the screen, a nice platform, and it is also in your hymn book on 157. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the gifts that come from above. Most importantly, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ that has come into the world for the forgiveness of our sin. And then we thank you for the Holy Spirit that has come to empower us, your church, that we would have the gifts to use, not for our own ego, not for our own self-entitlement, but for your glory, to point others within the church, outside of these church walls, who do not know you, that they would hear your name, believe, their lives would be changed, and they would have the promise of eternal salvation in their lives. Lord, help us to do the mission that you have called us to do. If we are confused about it, straighten us out. Point us in the right direction through the power of your word, through the power of communication with one another, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, bless everyone that seeks your word, that seeks to do what is right for your church, for your kingdom. Bless them for using their talents. In the name of Christ our Lord, our Savior, our friend, we do pray. Amen.
Good morning and Merry Christmas to the Church of Glenshaw Valley. The birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, is recorded in two of the Gospels. In Luke, it's more from the perspective of Mary, and it also includes the birth of John the Baptist. But in Matthew, it's more from the perspective of Joseph, and that's where our scripture comes from today. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Matthew 1, 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded of him and took Mary home as his wife. but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. It was the day after Christmas, and Dad was trying to take a nap, and his young son kept trying to interrupt him. And finally, the father lost his patience and said very sternly, "You go to my room, and you go there right now." Hearing this, the boy's mother asked, "Why are you sending him to our room instead of his room?" The father said, "Are you kidding me? Did you see all the Christmas presents that he got? He's got a flat screen TV in his room, an iPod, an iPad, an iPhone, an Xbox, three new electronic gadgets and games. If I want to punish him, I can't send him to his room. I've got to send him to our room where there isn't anything in it." How very different is our world from the world that Jesus Christ was born into. I wonder if Jesus ever even had a room of his own. In today's story from Matthew, Joseph and Mary are betrothed. It's a word we don't use anymore. Betrothal in those days was like a modern engagement, but much more binding. An engagement in today's world can be expensive to break, but being betrothed in the first century meant that a couple had already exchanged vows and they could only be unbetrothed through divorce. When Joseph discovered that Mary was pregnant, he naturally suspected that Mary was guilty of infidelity. If a betrothed couple was found to be with child before the marriage, this brought shame to the entire family. Joseph's reputation would have been affected as well as Mary's reputation. And so Joseph decided he would divorce Mary, but do it in a very quiet way, because Joseph was a very special man. Even though he was hurt, very much hurt, he didn't want to expose Mary to public disgrace. If Joseph had accused Mary of adultery, she could have been stoned to death in that culture. So Matthew tells us that it was not in Joseph's character to do this to Mary. Still, he planned to end the betrothal. Then Joseph had a dream. In this dream, an angel addressed him with an important title, "Joseph, son of David." Now, this is important because it related to the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. Jesus would be from the house of David, from King David, and the lineage here is very important. The angel told Joseph that Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit and that he should not be afraid to marry her. And the angel told Joseph to name the baby Jesus, and this baby would take away the sins of his people. And after the dream, Joseph changes his mind and stays with Mary, and he names the baby when born Jesus. By naming Mary's child, he is indicating to the world that Jesus is his legal son. According to a custom, a child's legal father was his real father. Didn't worry about the biological father. Therefore, Joseph's lineage was also the lineage of Jesus Christ from the house of David. This tells us much about Joseph. He was not only a son of David, but he was also a good man of God. We know very little about Joseph outside of the first chapter of Matthew. Though Paul mentioned Mary, he never mentioned Joseph. After the birth narrative, there's only one more reference to Joseph in the Gospels, one we're familiar with, when Joseph and Jesus and Mary go to Jerusalem, and then Jesus stays behind in the temple, and they have to go back and look for him. Many scholars think that it's likely that Joseph died when he was quite young, but we don't know for sure. But that could explain why Joseph was not mentioned with the rest of the family in the gospel narratives when Jesus began his ministry. However, there are some facts about Joseph that we can infer, I think, about him. Joseph was a man in control of his emotions. And I think that's very important, because some people are ruled all their lives just by their emotions. Gordon MacDonald tells the story of a Nigerian woman who was a physician at a great teaching hospital in the United States. And once when MacDonald was giving a lecture, she stepped out of the crowd to say something kind to him after the lecture about the lecture. And she introduced herself using her American name. And he asked her, "Well, what's your African name?" And she immediately gave it to him. The name had several syllables along with a musical sound to the name. And he said, "Well, what does that mean?" And she answered, "It means child who takes the anger away." When he inquired as to why she would have been given this name, she said, "Well, my parents had been forbidden us to marry. But we loved each other so much that we defied our parents and married anyway. And for several years, we were ostracized from both sides of the family. They wouldn't have anything to do with us. Then my mother became pregnant with me, and with the grandparents held me in their arm for the first time, the walls of hostility came tumbling down. And I became the one who swept the anger away. And that's the name my mother and father gave me." MacDonald concluded, "It occurred to me that that name would have been a suitable name for Jesus. And that name would also have been a good name for Jesus' father, Joseph, the one who swept the anger away. When someone hurts us, it's tempting to strike back in anger." He thought that Mary was pregnant with the child of another man, but he did not seek revenge. He was hurt by this apparent break in their relationship, but he did not seek to hurt her in return. All he wanted to do was walk away. Joseph did decide to end their betrothal, but when an angel came to him and assured him that it was not as it seemed, Joseph listened and did and obeyed as the angel had instructed. Joseph was the man who could control his emotions, and that's, I think, an important truth about Joseph. There are many times when we are confronted with situations in which the temptation will be to respond in a hurtful way and say things that we can never take back. Once a word is spoken, you can never get that word back. You can apologize, and that'll help, but the word has been spoken. If we can hold our tongue, if we can control our anger at such times, I believe God can use us in a wonderful and a great way. The Bible says, "Be quick to hear and slow to speak." Usually, we're the other way around. Joseph listened to the message of God through the agonizing pain of what he thought was infidelity, but he did not lash out, so he was in control of his emotions. We know also that Joseph was a man of great character. We know this from his willingness to take on the role of Jesus' father. Even though Joseph was not biologically related to Jesus, he was willing to claim him as his own. Pastor Philip Larkey tells about a friend of his years ago whose girlfriend was pregnant. Naturally, he assumed he was the father. But the gospel around school was that she'd been seen with other guys, and that his friend wasn't the father after all. Back then, they didn't have the benefits of paternity testing, and there's just no way they could get on the Maury Povich show. So there wasn't any way to know for sure. But there was enough to give his friend an out if he wanted it. Just enough question there. "Maybe it's not mine." He weighed the pros and cons and decided to ask his girlfriend anyway to marry him. She accepted him, they got married, and shortly after gave birth to a daughter who quickly became the apple of his eye. Always was, still is, to this day. He says, "When I think of my friend, I'm reminded of the faithfulness of Joseph. It was something to do with getting your ego out of the way and putting others first. A hard thing to do." It's an exercise in humility, and it's based on a simple trust that by God's grace, all things really do work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to His purposes. Not our purposes, but His purposes. And that's it to a great extent. It's a matter of getting your and my egos out of God's way. Some of you remember in the mid-80s when We Are the World became the fastest-selling pop single in American history. Sales exceeded 20 million copies and raised over $63 million for humanitarian aid. But a few days before the musicians gathered in the studio, Lionel Richie posted a sign over the entrance that said, "Check your egos at the door." That's so important in all relationships. In work, in your family, in marriages. It's important in sports. And it's important in the church life, the church family, all that we do, to check our egos at the door. Joseph checked his ego at the door. Joseph controlled his emotions. And Joseph was a man of character. And Joseph made a critical difference in our world. I don't think we really ever think about that. What if Joseph had not been able to man up, as we say in our vernacular today? What if he had not done what we might say is the right thing? Think how different the story of Christmas might be. But he did man up. He listened to the words the angel spoke, and the world has been blessed ever since. He was on stage, I guess you could say, he had his 15 minutes of fame in this beautiful drama. But he's still an important part of what happened in the world. So don't ever assume that because you don't seem to be playing a major part, maybe you think, "I'm just playing a minor part in everything," that your life doesn't have an impact, because it does. You don't have to be a major player. We look at Joseph and say that he couldn't have possibly made an impact on our world. He had very few of the world's goods. He certainly had no position of importance in the community, so how much difference could he make? He raised the Son of God, took him in as his own, gave him his name. He was a good husband to Mary and a good father to Jesus and to the other children, Jesus' brothers and sisters. The point is that when you go through life able to control your responses to people so that you're able to deal with them gently, with love and forgiveness, when you're a person of character so that the people know that you can be counted on to do the right thing, always do the right thing, when you're able to check your ego at the door, then your life is crucial for God's plan in this world. It is through these acts of love, kindness, responsibility, character, compassion that God is building God's kingdom right now. The Joseph who assumed the role of Jesus' father was such a man, and we need to thank God for it. If he wasn't, the world might be a different place. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Amen. Our closing, our hymn of response, number 82, "O Come, Let Us Adore Him."
sanctuary today. I hope that you did feel that it was a sanctuary, a place that you felt love, compassion, a sense of peace. And go back out into the world and take that love, compassion, and peace. The world that knows darkness, that doesn't have that peace, that does not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that does not have that promise of eternal life. And help them find it. Be a brother in Christ to them. Treat them with decency and kindness and respect. It doesn't mean that you have to accept the sin and the dishonesty and the evil of the world. You can confront it, but confront it with the nature of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.